with us for the first time or visiting. We hope you'll stay with us after the service for refreshments in the foyer outside here. The day continues with interactive worship at 11:30, and then reflective worship with communion today at 6:30. I'm sorry to have to announce that Munro Mackay has died. Our thoughts and prayers are with Joan and the family. The funeral will be on the 28th of August at 1 p.m. at Kingston Crematorium. Michael Burgess is out of hospital. John Davis is in hospital. Joanita Kasakula has had a baby daughter, Clara. And Jacob Barley has joined the army and has started his basic training. Next Sunday, the 26th of August, the Open Gardens program continues at Sue and Robin Hawes. Looking further ahead, there'll be a traditional bank holiday walk on Monday, the 27th of August, led by Georgina Forbes, from Bexley via Sidcup to Pett's Wood. Georgina would be happy to give you further details, or Finlay as well, I'm sure. The food bank will be organising a series of supermarket collections between early September and early November to help top up supplies. If you'd like some more information or think you might be able to help, please speak to Sally Butler. And please don't forget to add your postcards or photos to the Pilot's Holiday collage on the wall there. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We open our service as usual by celebrating our identity, saying together the words projected on the screen. We are Kingston United Reformed Church. We celebrate our diversity of worship and freedom. We continue our service by saying together the words of number 725, which is Psalm 121, I lift up mine eyes to the hills. Fine, not I lift mine eyes to the hills, but I look to the mountains. Let's follow the words up there. Say together, I look to the mountains, where will my help come from? My help will come from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you fall, your protector is always awake. The protector of Israel never dozes or sleeps. The Lord will guard you. The sun will not hurt you during the day, nor the moon during the night. The Lord will protect you from all. He will keep you safe. He will protect you as you come and go, now and forever. We join to sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
We join together to pray using the words projected on the screen. God our Father, we... We have not loved you with all our heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But you have kept faith with us. Have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins. And restore us to newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In repentance and faith, receive the promise of grace and the assurance of pardon. Here are words you may trust, words that merit full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To all who turn to him, he says, "Your sins are forgiven." He also says, "Follow me." Thanks be to God. We join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass. Thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You will notice that the hymn on the sheet has no number, and I don't recognize it anyhow. It was projected from my BlackBerry when I was on holiday, and by some strange process, it has disappeared. So I've chosen another one, and I thought that the appropriate hymn would be God Moves in a Mysterious Way. Our first reading comes from the letter to Hebrews, and Phil Bevan is going to read this for us.
This is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. There is nothing that can be hidden from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it.
We join in the hymn, I Lift My Eyes to the Quiet Hills. Our second reading comes from St. John's Gospel, and Fran Bevan is going to read this for us.
The reading is John 6, verses 51 to 58. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I give him is my flesh, which I give so that the world may live. This started an angry argument among them, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "I am telling you the truth. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in yourselves. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them to life on the last day. For my flesh is the real food, my blood is the real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I live in them. The living Father sent me, and because of him I live also. In the same way, whoever eats me will live because of me. This, then, is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread that your ancestors ate. They later died. But those who eat this bread will live forever."
Like many people, I was absorbed, some people have said obsessed, by the Olympics. And watching them was moving and inspiring. It lifted the spirits of millions of people in Britain who have had little to cheer about over the last 3 years. But the Olympics were more significant than the Games. They presented a vision of the Britain we aspire to be, the kind of country to which we could happily give our loyalty. Our national flag feels rehabilitated now that it has been removed from the BNP and carried proudly around the shoulders of Jessica Ennis and Mo Farah. The selfless service of thousands of people who run our NHS has been recognized and celebrated. Above all, the Olympics were significant because they have exposed the gulf between the vision of our political leaders and the dreams of the people. We saw a celebration of the inclusiveness of our amazing multicultural society. We cheered our champions, but one of the biggest cheers was reserved for the woman who completed the 3,000 meter steeplechase well behind the rest. So the first legacy of the Olympics is an unexpected challenge to our national life. It is not enough for our leaders merely to speak to us of facts, policies, statistics, projects, abstract and secure moralities. The dreams of the people are beyond them and will trouble them. Walking in London during the Olympics was also an unparalleled experience. The city had become a great chaotic marketplace of all the nations of the world, a place where the common humanity of the extraordinary world community was celebrated and shared. This was a period of shared happiness, leaving us with the audacious idea that our society might be different. Aidan Burley's lament for a vanished little England rang no bells. The Olympics leave us with a great yearning and a great fear. The yearning is for a new way for British society, and the fear is that we may again experience that awful emptiness where we have nothing to give our loyalty to and no vision to live by. The yearning and the fear match exactly the message of the biblical writers, and especially the words of Jesus. The Bible is about the hunger that people feel, the perception that people die not from physical, not only from physical hunger and famine, but also from spiritual famine. The biblical writers do not hesitate to address people who are physically alive as though they were dead, as though they need to find the source of true living. Jesus says, "I am the living bread which has come down from heaven. Whoever eats it will never die. In truth, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his bread and drink his blood, you can have no life in you." The challenge of Jesus focuses the question which lies at the center of all our lives. What is the essence of human life, and how can I lay hold on it? Could there be such a thing as salvation for me? If so, what could it be? Is it, for example, a permanent feeling of assurance so that I never have a moment's doubt that I will be on God's right hand at the final judgment, even in the middle of the night? Is it a state of mind, shalom? Or is it more than about what I feel? Is it about being true to my partial and fleeting glimpses of a holy God who is the ground of my being and where all my loyalties naturally lie? It's clearly more than living a good and moral life. You may remember that there was a young man who asked Jesus for the secret of salvation. Jesus told him, "Keep the commandments." But he replied, "I have kept all these since I was a boy." And in what is perhaps a unique phrase in all the Gospels, we read, as Jesus looked at him, his heart warmed to him. Jesus does not depreciate or write off the value of a good moral life. But he goes on immediately to talk of a life which is more than keeping the commandments. "Sell what you have and follow me." The secret of life depends on where your heart is, because where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Everyone's encounter with the truth about themselves, is involved in a self-confrontation. What confronts us is the absurd and frightening idea that our life could be different. The rich young man who spoke to Jesus went away with a heavy heart. He had suffered a great loss, because for everyone there is a choice, and for everyone life consists in choosing what is right for them. The consciousness of having rejected the true light for me is a poison which will eat away my true identity. The choices we make aren't just personal. They affect the life of the world. The bread of life which Jesus gives is his own flesh given for the life of the world. When we are true to what we understand is the will of God for us, our choice gives decision, gives life, not only to ourselves, but to everyone around us. The search for the bread of life is a universal human search. It isn't a narrow religious concern. And this is surely what St. Paul meant when he wrote in that letter to the Romans, "The created universe waits with eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." The universe itself is to be freed from the shackles of mortality and to enter into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This means that within the providence of God, the ability of the people around us to see and grasp that Jesus is the bread of life depends on us. We have to become the flesh and blood of Christ for those around us. But how exactly can that happen? How exactly can we experience being the body of Christ so that we uncover a deeper life for ourselves and for those around us? It's not primarily a matter of effort, still less a question of what you believe. It's life underpinned by the grace and mercy which is available to those who follow the way of Jesus. To quote Karen Armstrong, religion is ethical alchemy. It's about behaving in a way that changes you, that gives you intimations of holiness and sacredness. Religion is practical. It teaches you to discover new capabilities of mind and heart. Its truths can only be discovered by action. It's a life which calls us to put the interests of our community above the pursuit of personal gain. It opens up the realization of an open society in which all races are equally valued. The society which we glimpsed briefly in the Olympics. It involves, for example, the practice of forgiveness. Forgiveness in the teaching of Jesus is reciprocal. As we forgive others, we find that we ourselves are forgiven. Therefore, Jesus taught us to say, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Whenever we bring reconciliation to heal divisions and end hostile relationships, we reveal the power of Christ. It can be a costly process. We would not expect anything else because we are called to be the body of Christ, the Christ who lived and died, who suffered pain and hunger, experienced poverty, was tempted by power, and knew that the human path to God lay through weakness and suffering. The fact that the one who calls us also knows what human weakness is a ground for confidence. Our guide, the high priest referred to in the Hebrews letter, is not one unable to sympathize with weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are. Religion is the invitation to practice his way of living. Past failures are irrelevant. What is relevant is that the compassion of God is unending, and the opportunity for abundant life lies always in front of us. We keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing hymn number 69. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star. Join together in making our intercessions. We thank you, O God, for you are gracious. You have loved us from the beginning of time, and you remember us in times of trouble and of joy. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, O God, for you came to us in Jesus Christ, who has redeemed the world and saved us from our sins. Your mercy endures forever. We thank you, O God, for you have sent your Holy Spirit, who comforts us and leads us into all truth. Your mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us pray for all people everywhere, according to their need. So let us pray for the Church of Christ throughout the world, for its unity in Christ, for the fulfillment of its mission, for all ministers of the gospel and we remember especially Leslie and Sukin, our ministers here, and for our personal ministry as a part of this community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Strengthen your church in the service of Christ, that we and all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, let us pray for all the nations and peoples of the world. Let us pray that the experience and inspiration of the Olympics may remain with those nations who came here. Let us pray for the vision that we should all serve the common good. We pray especially for our own country and for our leaders. For our political leaders and for all who have authority and responsibility. Give wisdom to all in authority. Direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honor one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us keep silence as we pray for those we know and love, for people in our local community, for our families and friends. Give grace to us in all our relationships with our families and friends and with all our neighbors, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, we remember especially those who are experiencing grief because of bereavement or anxiety because of illness, their own illness, or the illness of those they love. We pray for all who suffer, for the sick, for those who mourn, for those without faith, for those who serve people in need. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in all their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us remember all who have died, giving thanks for their inspiration and witness to us. We commend all people to your unfailing love, that in them your will may be fulfilled. And we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may share with them in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service as the stewards wait on you for your offering. blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. We say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.